Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you especially for that. We consider that a sign of high intelligence, as you know. And that's the reason you tune in, isn't it? So you can hear me say how smart you are. Well, you're going to get smarter because Rick Maher is with us. Rick is is a change agent, helping people to understand where they're going with their businesses. He's one of the top business experts in our brain trust. He's the author of a couple of outstanding books, including Beyond the Wall of Resistance and my favorite title, Why Don't You Want What I Want? Rick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. I know one of the things that you want to talk about today is what you call scenario planning.
Right.
Now, I want you to give the audience a little bit of an idea about what you mean by that.
Sure thing. I realize that most of the people listening are small business people, so I'm going to give a large business example. But
we can learn things from large businesses, and we also expect them to learn things from us, too.
Okay, good deal. In the early 70s, there was an oil producer, a company like Shell and ExxonMobil, mm-hmm. called Royal Dutch Shell. And they were a relatively small company. And they were doing their planning, as most companies do, but they started to look at what are other possible scenarios, other possible events that could have an impact. And at the time, OPEC was just getting formed.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what if OPEC, this group of oil-producing nations, actually gets together and is able to control the price of oil? What will we do? And, I mean, there was no, you know, they didn't know that would happen, but they created a contingency plan and they put it on the shelf.
But they also knew enough about the industry and the world to know, I mean, I'm sure one day one of those guys sat down and said, you know, these people who are part of OPEC, they control most of the reserves on planet Earth.
Yes.
The majority of the reserves. What if those guys decided they wanted to flex their muscles a little bit? That's what they said, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, so to do scenario planning, you've got to have, as Yogi Berra would say, deep depth. I mean, you've got to know what's going on. You know, so if somebody sitting in Amsterdam or maybe they're in The Hague, I'm not sure, wherever they are, said, what if a tsunami hit? Well, that's not likely to hit, the Netherlands. You know, so you wouldn't plan for that. But they planned for this, and there was a big oil crisis where the prices were jacked up amazingly high.
They had the embargoed us.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
and most oil companies didn't know what to do, and the auto manufacturers didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And it was a crisis. Royal Dutch Shell went from being a small player to one of the top in the world through a lot of things. But a critical moment in the history of that organization is that they pulled that plan off the shelf, and they were ready for what everybody else saw as a disaster.
And even though they didn't have any better resources or access to anything than anybody else, in fact, maybe even not in the beginning, not even as much access as, say, some of the big folks were, but their minds were already prepared because they had done some what-if scenario planning. Their minds were ready to deal with the new reality, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and, I mean, you know, and I think of that, I think of most organizations, and most organizations do a pretty good job of planning, saying this is what we want our business to be. Kathy and I went to, we live in Arlington, Virginia, and there was a new restaurant just opened on Saturday, so we went in and had lunch, and the people were very excited, and my hunch is that they have a plan, clearly they had a vision of what their little restaurant's going to be. My hunch is that they really thought all that stuff through. what I doubt very much that they've done is said, what if the neighborhood changes? There's a lot of development going on right now in Arlington, Virginia, and you know, and commercial development. So for a small restaurant, that's great. But also, the people who own their building might say, we could sell this thing.
Right.
You know, and their lease doesn't get renewed. So what do they do? You know, how do you build a business with when your two-year lease or your five-year lease doesn't get renewed? I mean, it's stuff like that that has to be part of the planning. And often we're so excited about our idea, and here's what we could do, here's what we could build, here's how we could serve people. And we don't say, but what if this happens?
Well, see, this fits perfectly with what we were just talking about with our previous guest, Franz Johansson, and with what I said, which was, as managers, we've got to let our employees handle the here and now. We, a lot of our time, more maybe than we usually do, needs to be spent on where are we going. And when we come back, we're going to get Rick Mara to help us with some of that right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. There's the Crickets and their lead singer, Buddy Holly, the late great Buddy Holly. Welcome back. It's 17 till. We're having a great visit with our good friend Rick Mara, the author of Beyond the Wall of Resistance. And Rick, why don't you give us your website, please?
Sure thing. It's www.beyondresistance.com.
All right. And they can find your books there, can't they?
Yes, they can.
And all the things that you do. Check that out when you get a chance, folks. You know, Rick, it seems to me that most of us live our lives in two dimensions. The here and now, the reality that we have, and the way we think things should be, that's the second dimension, you know, how we really think they ought to be and what we plan on them being. But we don't actually wander off into the third dimension, which is really the most important one, and that is the where we're going and what we're going to find when we get there dimension. What do you think?
I agree with you completely. You know, remember there was a short story and then a book that I can't remember the name of, but it's about the baseball players, and they brought these like Shoeless Joe Jackson back.
Oh, you're talking about Field of Dreams.
That's it. Yes.
Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. not that I'd remember anything, but go ahead.
Yeah, right. No, that's good. Well, there's a phrase in the story and in the movie that if you build it, they will come.
Yeah,
well,
that's the phrase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's nice for a movie, but man, that's a killer for a business, and it misses the exact point. I think that you're getting at, you know, that we need to be willing to live out there and say, huh. You know, in that what-if world, that even though I have this vision for this business, and boy, this would be great, and you know, and that's good, that's exciting, and you ought to go with it and build plans on it, you've also got to go, does anybody else in the world care?
Mm-hmm.
Or will they care 5 years from now? And I've seen people make bad, bad business decisions kind of based on hearing a line in a movie.
Well, we've actually used that line to our advantage, or attempted to use it to our advantage around here, because what we've said ever since we saw that movie years ago was every time we would think about doing something, we would apply that word to what we were doing. We were saying, you know, look, for example, if you were going to build a bed and breakfast, you know, you should say, what if we gave a bed and breakfast and no one came? You know, if we build it, will they come? And so I think that's an example, without getting too wrapped up in the success, you know, the weird success that they had in the movie, in the surreal part of that, you know, say to yourself when you have a new idea, a new product, a new strategy, whatever it might be, just say, you know, what if they don't come?
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
what if I'm wrong?
Yeah, I think the way you've just changed the wording, if we build it, will they come, not they will come, is
right.
A great question to ask.
Yeah, and if you don't do that with every single plan that you make and really scrutinize it, I mean with painful scrutiny, then you're making a mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's you know, I see so many small businesses kind of start in – like a dry cleaner will be in some area where you go, there's no reason why people get out of their car here.
Right, right. I hear you.
There's a coffee shop that opened, coffee shop and restaurant near a place, I play in a band, and it was near a place where I was. I didn't know for about a month that this place had opened, and it was right across the street from where I played. And a friend of mine was going there, and she said, you know, I really like this place. It's in our neighborhood, and nobody's coming. And I said, well, I didn't even know it was there, Vicki. And so she talked to them. Next thing they put up a huge sign that said grand opening, but it didn't say grand opening until what?
Right.
You know, and it was, you know, I said, look, when I'm looking for coffee, I'm looking either for that Starbucks thing that I can tell at
right.
a glance or something that says coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grand opening isn't going to make me to pull the car over and go, gee, grand opening of what? Maybe I'll go in.
Well, it's, or it's like going to a website and you don't know what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you knew what they do and you wanted to buy some, they don't make it easy for you to buy.
Boy, that's
so no, I hear you, but you know, back to something that I've talked about in the past. One of the, and I want to get this down to a real live example. When we're proposing to borrow money from a bank, we give them our loan proposal, and that includes hopefully the projection for how we think we're going to pay the money back. Okay, this is the business we're going to do with this money that you're going to loan us. It's going to increase our sales by 5% or 10% or whatever. And this is how it's going to manifest in this and blah, blah, blah. And this is why you should loan us the money. Well, your banker, I know you're excited about that, folks. And I know that's what you think you can do. And you very well may do better than that.
Yeah.
But your banker is going to want to hear you say, but
yeah,
if our plans don't turn out as well as we thought, here's another scenario that shows you how you're still going to get your money if we're off by 20% or whatever. This is our break even. If we just break even on this new venture, here's how you're still going to get paid back. And even though it might hurt your feelings to even have to talk about that, that's smart management, isn't it?
I think it is. You know, and I was thinking in getting ready for our call today that one of the things that would serve small businesses is one of the things that you do, and that is you have a brain trust.
Yep, of which you are one.
Which I are one. And I mean, you know, and the good thing about that is that you've got different people giving input, and not necessarily all people that agree with you.
Right. Well, most of them agree if they get invited back. But
well, that's true. Yeah,
but I see your point.
Well, your coffee's good.
I mean, that's exactly right. Hold on to that thought, Rick. I think you were coming to where you were going to say something nice about me, and I don't want to miss that. So we'll do that right after these messages, folks. Always like those compliments. Ten till Rick Maurer is our guest. He and I will be right back. Norman Greenbaum for you there. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Rick Maurer, and that's M-A-U-R-E-R if you're Googling him. Rick is the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want, which is a question I ask around here all the time, Rick. And I never get a satisfactory answer. I continue to roam the earth trying to find people who want what I want. And I'm not having a lot of luck there, Rick. Okay, we're talking about scenario planning. And Rick, I think I had to cut you off. Weren't you about to say something really nice about me?
Yeah, that moment.
Or was that? Oh, okay, the moment's gone. All right, well, let's move on then. What are your last thoughts? What's your best advice for small business owners?
No, actually, what I was going to say is, I think they would do well to consider what you're doing with a brain trust, and that is surround themselves by people who can see things that they may not see,
mm-hmm.
and are willing to speak candidly to them. And the truth of the matter is, most people don't want feedback.
Mm-hmm.
They may say they do. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm open to feedback. Most people don't, and we don't.
It hurts.
It hurts, you bet. And so we're very selective in what we let in. And, you and I were talking before we went on that I'm developing, you know, this product on leading change.
Right.
And what I did is I put together a brain trust. And these are people that if they tell me something, I'm going to pay attention.
Well, because you know that they're both critics. They're capable of being both a critic and also a safe harbor.
Exactly. And I know that when they tell me something, they will have thought through it, and you know, and so I started with saying, hey, is this a good idea? Here's what I'm thinking of doing. Is it a good idea? And I was prepared for people to say no, and some people said no, it isn't. Here's why. And mm-hmm. a lot of people said yes, it is. Here's why. It gave me good data, mm-hmm. and throughout the process, they're helping me see things that never would have been on my screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that brain trust notion, and I had never thought of that phrase, you know, associated with my business before, but that notion is something I think that your listeners really could pick up on.
Well, there's no question about it, and we've you know, I think you and I may have talked about this before. I know we have over the years on this show, and it's the importance of having other voices in your life, people. And the reason it's important to have a number of these people is because sometimes they actually might be wrong.
That's true.
I mean, you said one person said do it, and one person said don't do it. One of them was wrong. You know? And so you have to sort of listen to all of them and maybe even realize that, you know, maybe one of them is in a different place than the other, and who knows, but you really need to have, and small business owners have got to have those kinds of committees or brain trusts or boards that they put together, because they're as good as their employees are and as important as their ideas are, they need someone out of the organization, don't they, to help them?
Well, they do, and they need someone who maybe isn't even in their business,
mm-hmm.
like somebody who, I talk about the thing about this restaurant in Arlington, Virginia. You know, they need somebody who knows Arlington and knows the trends.
Right.
You know, they don't have to know anything about the restaurant business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know real estate. They know population movements. They understand stuff like that. Those are the kind of people.
Yeah.
You know, in addition to people who understand your business.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking a minute ago, Rick, about you were half apologizing about using big business examples. One of the things that I tell small business owners is, look, we can learn lots of stuff from our big business cousins, not only about what they do well, but what they don't do well.
Yeah.
They mess up plenty of times, and we can look at them and say, you know what? That was a mistake I don't want to make.
Yep. No, absolutely. Absolutely. That's, I agree with you 100%.
And of course, what's the pity, Rick, is that there are some things that we do that they could learn from us.
Yeah.
But they don't, because you know why? Because we're small businesses. And, you know, what do we know,
yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Hey, Rick, give us that website again.
Sure. It's www.beyondresistance.com.
Your new program, can we find it there?
No, it's not. It's still, it's way, way too early in the development phase.
When will we have access to it?
My hope is that part of it will be done by the end of March. And it's going to be called The Change Without Migraine System.
Oh, yeah, I like that title.
Thank you. And I hope the whole thing will be done by July.
The Change Without Migraine System. And you're going to bring it back and tell us about it later, aren't you?
Yep, I have every plan.
Thank you, Rick, for being here. Rick Maurer, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, I promise. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.